And in a moment, Josh is going to come and bring our reading for tonight. We're still in 1 John, carrying on that series. Ed Horse, one of our elders, is going to come and preach from that passage in a moment. But Josh is going to come and read 1 John 2, 15 to 27, which is page 1226 in the church Bibles. And should also come up on the screen. Josh, come and read for us.
Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. Dear children, this is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Who is the liar? It is whoever denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a person is the Antichrist, denying the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. As for you, see that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you also will remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what he promised us, eternal life. I am writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. As for you, the anointing you received from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, do not counterfeit. Just as it has taught you, remain in him.
Thanks, Josh. Do keep that passage open. And let's pray together as we start. Father, thank you so much that your Holy Spirit is with us. Thank you that he is now here present with us, teaching us, helping us to understand more about who you are and what you've done for us in Christ. And we pray that, as AJ said earlier, whatever's going on in our minds this evening, we pray that we will focus on what you're saying to us and be comforted by it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Great. Well, good evening, everyone. Great to be with you. And the question I would like to ask you as we begin this evening is, how confident are you that you are going to make it to glory? How confident are you that you are going to persevere as a Christian until the glorious new creation that we heard about this morning that Richard was preaching about from Genesis? How confident are you of making it, of persevering? John is writing to a group of Christians, and we've been working our way through this letter, and these Christians have been saved, he says, and they have the promise of eternal life. They're on their way to glory. And he says to them, chapter 2, verse 28, which is the verse after the ones Josh has just read to us. He says to them, and now, dear children, continue in him so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. How confident are you today that you are going to make it to that wonderful new creation that he will bring at the end of time? And in the verses that come before that verse, the ones that Josh just read to us, that we're looking at this evening, John gives us two big warnings. Two things. He warns us about two things that could shipwreck our faith. I don't know if you've ever seen a shipwreck with your own eyes. This is a lovely German cruise ship called the World Discoverer. Apparently pretty unsinkable, reinforced hull, you know, set off carrying loads of passengers, unsinkable, they said, until this happened. This is a few years after it actually happened. It got to the Solomon Islands, and it hit a large rock, and it was shipwrecked, and it never made it to its destination. And apparently it's still there today, and you can go and see it. Shipwrecks are kind of sad to think about, aren't they? A glorious ship sailing to its destination that never makes it. But what's even more sad to think about are people who once called themselves Christians, maybe once were here among us on a Sunday evening, singing the songs, listening to the readings, listening to the talks, but now have drifted from Christ. People who, in other words, have shipwrecked their faith. How does that happen? How does that happen? Well, the first thing John says is, if you love the world, you will shipwreck your faith. If you love the world, you will shipwreck your faith. Look down with me at chapter 2, verse 15. He says this, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world." You see, John is saying there are two realms. On the one hand, there's the realm of love for the Father and loving him. And he's the one who is light and love and life and all things good. And on the other side, there's the realm of love for the world and love for the world. And what's that like? Verse 16, everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. And John is saying these two realms, the world, the Father, love for the world, love for the Father, they do not mix. They do not mix. There are some things in life that mix really well, aren't there? Like squash and water. It's a great combination. There are some things that absolutely do not mix. Light and dark. Life and death. And John says, love for the Father and love for the world do not mix. There is a real conflict between them. If you love the world, love for the Father is not in you. And John says, if you love the world, you will lose the Father. And you will shipwreck your faith. It's not unfortunate. It's not a shame. It's not living the life that, you know, to its full. It's a surefire way to shipwreck your faith, John says. And so he says, you've got to decide which realm are you going to love? You know, which realm are you going to be a part of? Are you going to love the world? Are you going to make your home in the world, or are you going to love the Father? This chap is a guy called Charles Dutton. He's now a famous actor, but when he was a young man, he spent 7 years in prison for manslaughter. And while he was in prison, apparently he developed, during his time in prison, a bit of a passion for acting, and he had some opportunities to learn how to act in prison. And when he got out, he got a small part in a Broadway production and went down pretty well. And then over time, he worked his way up and he hit the big time in a production apparently called The Piano Player. And now he's a very famous actor and has won lots of awards. Someone asked him, how did you make the remarkable transition through those prison years to getting to Broadway? Amazing transition to come from being in prison to being a Broadway actor. And here's what he said. He said, unlike the other prisoners, I never decorated my cell because I wanted to be reminded every day that this place is temporary. John says, this world is temporary. Do you see that in verse 17? The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. Two realms, love of the Father, love of the world. I think one of the challenges for us who live in a pretty wealthy country, I was really struck by this, listening to Clive as he spoke this morning about life in India. One of the challenges for us is that we have so many good things in our world, in our country. Comparatively, we're pretty rich. Or you could say our prison cell is actually quite nice. So it can be very tempting to decorate it and make our home in it. The nicer your prison cell, the more likely you are to find your home there and forget about how much better it is outside. And I was challenged, actually, by a Christian recently on this. And we were talking about something, and I said, oh, I love that. I can't remember exactly what we were talking about. I said, I love it. And he said, no, you don't. You love God, and you love people. You don't love things. You enjoy things. And it really stuck with me. So I don't know what it would be for you. What is the thing in the world that you're tempted to love that will knock out love for the Father? There are so many good things that we get to enjoy in this world, whether it's having a family, whether it's possessions. I think for me, I was thinking about this. One of the things I'm really tempted to love is sport, playing sport, the idea of being kind of trying to stay physically young and fit and all that kind of thing. And as I get older, I'm in denial that I'm getting older. I am tempted, and I can even almost hear myself saying it, I absolutely love that. And John would say to me, be very, very careful. Enjoy it by all means. But if you make it your God, then that's a very dangerous place to be. If you love the world, you will shipwreck your faith. I think one of the tests about what you love is when it's taken away from you, how do you respond? If you enjoy something that's taken away, you can kind of cope with it. It's a shame, but you can kind of cope with it. If you love something and it's taken away from you, your world falls apart. John says, if you love the world, you will shipwreck your faith. Secondly, he says, if you listen to false teachers, you will shipwreck your faith. Do you notice in the second half of that passage how keen John is for his readers to know that they have the true gospel? You really pick up, he's saying, you've got the true gospel. Don't doubt it. You've got the true gospel. Verse 20, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Verse 27, as for you, the anointing you receive from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you, but as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him. He's so keen for them to know that they already have the truth. Why is he so keen for them to know that they already have the truth? The gospel that they've already got is the truth. He's so insistent on that because there are false teachers on the loose. And John knows that listening to false teaching will rob them of the heart of the gospel, and so it will shipwreck their faith. Did you see that? End of verse verse 23. No one who denies the Son has the Father. You take the gospel out and it takes the Father, relationship with the Father, away from you. In other words, it shipwrecks your faith. So who are these false teachers that are on the loose then? Well, we're going to see three things about them. First of all, their title. Verse 18. Dear children, this is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it is the last hour. Their title, John says, is the Antichrist or Antichrist. And John says that one of the marks of the last hour, in other words, the time between Jesus' first and second coming, one of the marks of that period, there will be people around, people on the loose, who are Antichrists. And the specific thing, which just means they're Antichrist. And the specific thing that they want to deny about Jesus is that he is the Christ. He is God come in the flesh. Verse 22, who is the liar? It is whoever denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a person is the Antichrist, denying the Father and the Son. That's the heart of their false teaching. It pinpoints Jesus and it says, he's not God's son. He's not God's son, doesn't it? He fills in a bit more in chapter 4, actually, what he's talking about. Chapter 4, verse 1. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, but every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. They're not people with a different point of view that need to be listened to and considered. They are the enemy. They are the Antichrist. And it kind of makes sense, doesn't it? It kind of adds up. Because if you think about it, Jesus demonstrated 2,000 years ago very clearly that he is the Christ. He is God's king. But here we are 2,000 years later, and very few people think that Jesus actually is the Christ. Why has that happened? The Antichrist, the spirit of the Antichrist, has been doing his work for 2,000 years. And would you believe it? It's been quite effective. Yes, God is in charge. But the Antichrist has been convincing people that Jesus is not the Christ. That's their title. Secondly, their nature. Their nature. And maybe the surprising thing here is that their nature is human. Did you notice that in verse 22? Who is the liar? It is whoever denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a person is the Antichrist, denying the Father and the Son. You see, when I hear the word Antichrist, I'm kind of thinking that I'm going to walk down Worcester High Street and I'll see coming in the other direction a huge giant with devil horns wearing a big placard saying Antichrist. And I think, there it is. I need to watch out for this. I heard about this guy. The scary thing is, John says it's a person. It's people. It's whoever denies the Father and the Son. Thirdly, their job is to deceive people. Their job is to deceive people. Verse 26. I am writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. In other words, they're trying to lead these Christians and Christians today away from Christ. They're trying to make a shipwreck of your faith by robbing you of the Father. And John says, if you listen to them, they will. They've done it before, and they'll do it again. A while ago at school, I'm a school teacher, and a while ago we were called into a meeting on a Friday break time. Come to the common room, got something important to say. And they said, the guy who's in charge of the computer systems in the school said, there are scammers around. And a school in Gloucester has been scammed, and they've lost a lot of their data and a lot of their money, and they're trying to get it back. And it's all because someone sent out an email, and a scammer sent someone in the school an email, and they clicked on it or they replied to it, and they gave some information, and they were able to steal lots of money or data or something. And the guy stood up and he said, be very, very careful about the emails you get today, because some of them, they might look really normal, but if you do the wrong thing with it, you'll get scammed, and we'll lose data, and we'll lose money, and it'll put us in a very tricky situation. So I go back to my desk, and every email I'm getting for the rest of the day, I'm thinking, oh, you know, I'm on to you. Is this a scam? And John says, there are scammers out there in this world. He says there are scammers. There are liars. And they're not just out to steal your data or your kind of confidential information or your money. They're out to steal from you the most precious thing, the Father, the gospel, a relationship with the Father. Be on your guard. Don't be naive, he says. I remember when I was at university during the Freshers Week, so the week before lectures started, there was what's called the Freshers Fair in the student union. If you've been to university, you might have been to something similar. And you go into the Freshers Fair, and it's the chance for all the clubs and societies that run to kind of showcase what they're doing and get people to sign up. And there are loads of floors of student union, so you know you've got the floor for sports and the floor for music and all that kind of thing. And I remember going around, and there were different kind of there was a sort of religious area, and there was the kind of Muslim stand and their ideas, and there was the Buddhist stand and their ideas, and maybe the Jewish stand, I think, and their ideas, and, you know, like the secular humanist stand and all their ideas, and there was a Christian stand and their ideas, and the atheist stand and their ideas, and, you know, the kind of impression you get walking in there is, isn't this brilliant? You know, you've got all these different ideas. It's 2024. We can all learn from each other. We're all part of one big conversation. And John says no. John says no. They're scammers. Unless at the heart of their gospel is Jesus as the Christ, they're out to scam you. They're out to rob you. Not of your money, of your data, but of the heart of the gospel, an eternal future. And they're good at it. So many people fall for the atheist scam, don't they? Think about it. So many people fall for the scam of Islam, that Jesus isn't actually the Christ. So many people fall for the scam of any religion that's not, doesn't have Christ at the center of it. Now, I'm aware that that's not very 2024. You know, we live in a culture which says, let's let everyone have their voice. But John says, no one who denies the Son has the Father. No one who denies that Jesus is the Christ has anything to say of any spiritual value whatsoever. Here's a practical implication for us. What kind of music do you listen to as your default kind of music? What kind of music do you listen to? Do you listen to music, for example, that reminds you that Jesus is Lord and the gospel is true? Or do you listen to music written by people who, if you ask them, or maybe you can kind of tell from what they say in their words, is written by people who would very confidently deny that Jesus is anyone but just a human being? John would say, if your default kind of music is written by people who deny that Jesus is the Christ, you're in a dangerous situation. And we kind of say, nah, you know, that sounds a little bit extreme. And, you know, I'm good at kind of discerning, you know, which are good things to take forward and which are not. And I get that. You know, we don't want to kind of never have anything but the Wood Green playlist on our Spotify. But I think we've gone too far in the other direction. And I think we're opening the email from the scammer and letting them infiltrate. You know, we can't be naive about how much ideas can infiltrate our mind. Or let me ask you, what is your default kind of podcast listening? Or what's your sort of go-to thing to look at on social media? Is it people who are going to remind you that Jesus is the Christ and that the gospel is true? Or is it someone who would flatly deny that Jesus is the Christ and that the gospel is true? And you say, oh, no, I'm quite discerning. I can sort of see which true and which not. Don't be naive about how much that's influencing you. John says, verse 24, as for you, see that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. In other words, get your mind subjected to the gospel that you heard in young church when you were seven, that Jesus is the Lord. And just that simple gospel, make sure you're hearing it over and over again. Because if you do, that's how you make it to glory. How confident are you that you'll make it to glory? How confident are you that you will persevere as a Christian until the new creation? John says, if you love the world, you will shipwreck your faith. He says, if you listen to false teachers, you will shipwreck your faith. Stick with the true gospel that you heard at young church when you were 7 years old, and you'll get to glory. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that you warn us about dangers. You don't leave us just to sail through the Christian life and unaware of the danger that we're in. Thank you that you're in charge. Thank you that you are more powerful than any of your enemies. And we pray that you will preserve us this week, this year. We pray that you'll keep us close to Christ and remaining in him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.